Last night of our gospel meeting, we're thankful that you have come this evening. We have a good audience this evening. We're thankful for and appreciation of your presence, realizing on a Friday night you're doing so many other things, and you chose to be here tonight, and we're so encouraged by that. As I think about it, I'm thankful for the confidence in the elders for me to preach the truth of the gospel, all the encouraging words. I'm so very thankful. And that, again, that you made a provision for me and my family so that we could come during spring break so Andrew can be with us and my whole family could be with us and be encouraged by the faithfulness of each and every one for all the hospitality of Luetta, all the provisions she has made the whole week for us. We're so very thankful for that and for her faith. We're thankful for all the meals that have been given on our behalf for the Hamiltons, for the Campbells, for the Fultzes, for the Hagans, and then tonight with the Austins. We're so very thankful for all the home-cooked meals, and again, also for all those who drive such a distance to be here to worship God here at Rivermont. It's definitely appreciative in a world where maybe so many may not go even a mile or two to worship God, and you're willing to have the conviction to come. And so thank you again for the support in the preaching the gospel in Brenham. We're thankful for that. We appreciate your prayers on our behalf as we go back and continue to preach the word of God in Texas. We've been talking in our series of lessons about giving no place to the devil. And as you think about your life, if you've lived as a Christian very long, you know there you have to suffer through a lot of different things. And you think about all the false doctrines, you realize the devil is deceiving people and he's using false teachers that we mentioned earlier. We've talked about several subjects this week. And so we ask this question, as a Christian, sometimes we get down in the dumps. And we need to recognize that we are human beings, we're not perfect, that we are affected by all the things that are around about us. We ask the question, are you feeling down in the dumps? Well, the devil wants to keep us down in the dumps. He wants us to be discouraged so that we won't be faithful to the Lord. If he can't get you any other way, he's not got another weapon, another device of the devil. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Did you think about problems in the home? And again, we talked about the problems of divorce last night. And as you think about concerning those who have worked out and reconciled their problems without the Lord's help, that probably wouldn't have happened. You have problems in the home. Are you overwhelmed? You have problems at your job because here maybe concerned about, you know, you might be having to lose your job. And basically, jobs are being cut. Or maybe you don't have a job in this job market. And it's very difficult. Are you overwhelmed trying to find another job? Are there problems at school and the facing the peer pressure that you have? Problems in our country. We realize we have problems in our country. Problems in the church. Yes, there's problems even in the church. Are you overwhelmed about that? Are you discouraged because of ungodliness? Because of apathy? Because of burdens that you are bearing at this time? Many have physical problems. Maybe others have spiritual problems and difficulties with your family. Are you discouraged because of loneliness or because of some other reason? Well, why do we get discouraged? Why? We're gonna get 4 points on that and how we can receive encouragement from God's Word and how to overcome those difficulties. First of all, why do we get discouraged? Because of spiritual failure. Somebody might say to themselves, I don't want to give in to temptation, but I give in over and over again, and it doesn't seem like it's worth it. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me anymore because I hate myself and I'm worthless to the cause of Christ because I'm nothing. I can't do anything. And who can really serve God in times like these, as someone would say, because of all the ungodliness? Are you concerned with spiritual failure? Are you concerned about that? You remember Peter? You remember why he was here upon this earth? What about the Apostle Peter? You remember that he said, I'm willing to go to prison and to death, Lord. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to do it. We know the scriptures in Luke 22, verses 54 through 61. Just as Jesus had said, he did. He thought he was stronger than he was. And he failed. And he failed miserably. He denied him 3 times. And imagine if you were there and the Lord turning and looking at you. It's no wonder Peter wept bitterly. Well, it's the same thing as us when we fail and we realize the Lord knows our thoughts and our motives, and He knows when we fail. Say, look, hey, we failed. Well, look at Peter. He denied Him three times. Well, while Judas hung himself, Peter wept bitterly. And you know what? 50 days later, and remember Jesus had prayed for him that his faith would not fail. And He said, once you have turned again, you go strengthen your brethren. Luke 22, 31, 32. And just a short time later, just a little over 7 weeks, 50 days on the day of Pentecost, He's willing to risk His life to those who had taken part in crucifying the Son of God and was willing to get up there and say, you have crucified the Lord. And He, when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He realizes the mercy of the Lord upon Himself too, for those who crucified Him by the words of the Spirit. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And 3,000 did obey the gospel of Christ. Or are you discouraged because of spiritual failure? Well, join the club. We have all failed spiritually. We get to the point we think, well, we haven't failed. We need to realize what the Scripture says. Well, I avoid, you know, doing the sinful things. Are you failing to do what God said also? And James 4, verse 17 says, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We fail to do what is right. Have you done that? I know I've failed to do that as a Christian. Said to him, it is sin. It's James 4, verse 17 there. 1 John 1, verse 8. We ever get to the point, hey, you know, I don't have any sin any longer. Well, that become quite pharisaical as you look down upon all the others, like the one, I thank God that I'm not like these other wicked sinners out there. And the tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven. Said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now we realize that as Christians, 1 John 1 verse 8, you know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, that's not the point. We realize we want to do all that we can to serve God. We want to be faithful. We know from time to time in our weakness, we fail. And we need to admit that. In the next verse, in 1 John 1, verse 9, mentions that. We confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. 1 John 3, verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The old King James would say sin is transgression of the law. The Apostle Paul would say, Philippians 4, verse 13, which we always need to remember, especially when we're discouraged, thinking about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of thinking, I just can't do it, I can't do it, we think about our children, and especially when they're very young, I just can't do this, and I can't do that. No, you can do it. Don't get in your mind, I just can't do it. As you think about concerning any commandment that the Lord has given, we can do it. He's not going to give us a command that we cannot obey, right? And so we need to recognize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. Also, why do we get discouraged? Well, because of isolation. You ever think that you are the only one serving God? You think you're the only one? You might say, well, I'm the only one serving God at school. And I'm the only one serving God at work. I'm the only one serving God at the gym or whatever your hobby is. And here I'm the only one in my hometown. Maybe somebody might think to themselves, I'm the only one. And so feeling isolated and frustrated and lonely and just desire to quit maybe. Well, join the club. You think about the mightiest prophets of God. Did you know in the Old Testament there was a prophet that was discouraged so much that he wanted to quit in the end? Elijah, you remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19? You remember Jezebel desired to come after him, and he said, Lord, is it enough? Take my life. I just can't do it. He said, I just can't do it anymore. You ever thought that way? I just can't do it. Elijah did. He requested that he might die. 1 Kings 19 verse 1 through 4. Well, thinking I'm the only one. When the Lord asked him what he was doing at Horeb, along with the other things, Elijah said, I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. In 1 Kings 19, verse 10. From a physical standpoint, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I thought there must have been something in their DNA which they have an advantage over me as an individual. They were like superheroes. You ever think that? They were like superheroes. How were they able to overcome all the persecution, all the suffering, the prophets, and you think about the apostles, and they died for the cause of Christ, except for the apostle John, from all we understand. How did they possibly do it? But we see also concerning the sacrifice they made and the transparent statements that they made, honestly, from the heart. God doesn't cover it up, does He? Everything is exposed, and we see here Elijah is saying, I am the only one. I'm the only one. They seek my life to take it away. What point is my life? What good did it do? Well, did God just give him his... Did he just let him die? Did he just let him die there? No, if you remember, God fed him and gave him encouragement. Remember that 3.5 years? Remember that 3.5 years? And the drought comes online. He was fed by the ravens. Remember that? God took care of him during that period of time. And God is going to take care of him here, even though he didn't think he deserved that. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18, the encouragement that he received, and what we need to also remember in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 18, notice what the Word of God says. I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Did he need to hear that? He most certainly did. You think about any examples that we have in the Word of God. You know, God has given us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. Any situation that we might be facing, especially discouragement, here's the example of Elijah. No, you're not the only one. There are 7,000 out there that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Even though it looks like, from my physical perspective, my limited perspective, Elijah's perspective, I'm the only one serving God. No, he wasn't the only one serving God. There are others. And so you need to recognize that there are many other Christians that are denying ungodliness and worldly desires and living sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In Titus 2 and verse 12. And I believe as I look upon your lives that there are many here that are serving God. You're not the only one. And you know what? The Lord knows those who are His in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. The Lord knows if you're serving God. So don't think about concerning the physical perspective, I'm the only one serving God. There are many others. Also, why do we get discouraged? Because of apathy. We might think, well, and maybe you tried. You think about, nobody wants to study the Bible anymore. They have all these activities and they have all these electronic devices. They've got an iPad, and here, you know what the latest iPad just came out? Another one, and so everybody's waiting all night to grab that latest iPad. Whatever the electronic device is, whatever they want, whether movie or TV, or they have entertainment devices going on all the time in their cars and their travel, and so people don't have any time to study. They're not interested in spiritual things, and thus I'm discouraged because of apathy. Well, is no one listening to you? You ever think about what if you'd have lived during Noah's time? How well did Noah's message go over in that time? You think about the doom and gloom. You think about the message. What positive message did Noah have? Remember, they were only thinking about evil continuously. And God was going to judge and condemn them. He had them build the ark. And hear the message of doom. Basically, you know, you don't repent, you're going to perish. In this flood. Here the earth is filled with violence here. And so we see him preaching for at least 100 years. And how much success did he have? He had him and his family and the wives that they married. 8 souls saved in the ark in 1 Peter 3 in verse 20 in that passage. Those who wanted to repent. If anybody can say, well, nobody is listening to me, Noah could have said it. How discouraged he was in the flesh. You know he had to be discouraged for that long a period of time. We don't even live that long. And here for all that time, building the ark and preaching the Word of God, only 8 souls He didn't quit, did he? The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, said he was a preacher of righteousness. He never quit. He never gave up. Because he believed in what God said and he obeyed him until the end. He kept preaching. We think about concerning the results. We want the results and we pray. We pray for that. We pray for spiritual growth and we pray for numerical growth. But can we force that? Our responsibility is to do what? To plant the seed, isn't it? What do men think instead? Well, we've got to provide entertainment. We've got to provide fun and food and frolic. We've got to provide all these things to entice them to come. Well, we talked about the other night. That's not the mission of the church. We can't bring them in with physical things because the whole thing about it is that, well, when they get tired about that, they'll go down to another denomination down the road who have something better to fill their belly. We only want the spiritual food of the Word of God, which is going to save our soul. That's what we should desire. And so if we're just thinking, well, the results aren't successful, and so, well, we ought to try something else. Compromise the message. Noah couldn't compromise the message, could he? He had that one message to the people to save their souls. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, alluded to it a minute ago, the Apostle Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to the Corinthian brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice as he talked about them being carnally minded. Remember they called themselves after Paul and Apollos and after Cephas and after Christ. He said in verse 5, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. It's so sad and so tragic that you've got men today that will say St. Paul and St. Peter and St. Matthew and all these other, concerning other men. You can see in the scriptures, this is not authorized by the Lord. He put themselves up above the Lord. We're only servants through whom you believe, you said. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gives the increase. God was causing the growth. And so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. God gives the increase. God causes the growth. We planted this. We think about a certain harvest. Hey, planting season during this time, in the springtime. And we expect a harvest. But if we aren't going to sow, we aren't going to reap anything for sure, are we? We've got to plant the seed of the Word of the Word of God. Good and honest hearts will respond. No one listening to you? Why are you continuing to invite people to services? Sure, you probably have done that during the gospel meeting. Your friends and neighbors and loved ones, inviting them to study the Bible. Do you show concern for their souls? Do you still do that? Think about nobody listening to you. Overcome your discouragement by remembering past victories. You think about all the temptations that you have overcome in the past to be faithful in overcoming sin. Remember past victories. You remember Elijah. What did he need to remember? God sustaining him through trials. What did he remember? You remember as the contest at Mount Carmel? And here are all those false prophets of Baal. And they're crying all day long and crying out to their God, Baal, Baal, Baal. And he never answered in there. And they're cutting themselves and crying out all day. And of course he didn't answer. And of course Elijah, here's the faithful prophet of God. And fire comes down from heaven as he has spoken. And all the people are saying, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. God had given him victory before all the people. And he needs to remember that to sustain him through his trials. Well, God has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about those at Corinth, the most wicked and heinous sins. Some of them were fornicators and adulterers. Some of them were homosexuals. Some of them were thieves and covetous and drunkards. He said, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But he said, but such were some of you. You were washed. You are justified, you are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And now, as you think about it concerning your lives, hopefully the peace of Christ rules in your hearts in Colossians 3 and verse 15. So remember past victories of getting to this point, the victory over sin through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to remember that.
when we obeyed the gospel of Christ. And remember all the times in trouble. How many times have you prayed to God and He answered concerning a different situation, overcoming temptation to sin? Maybe you think about concerning maybe other times when you were in your sins, and the times maybe somebody has been drunk driving and you've been spared as a result. And all the times that you prayed and overcoming and you didn't have to suffer the consequences of a drunk driving accident, fornication, or be tempted to have an abortion or AIDS or STDs or all these other things. Through Christ, that we could overcome the temptation to sin. The Apostle Paul, remember, had that thorn in the flesh. And he prayed fervently 3 times that it might be removed from him. And sometimes we think about concerning our prayer, and the Apostle Paul, he said, well, he was an apostle. The whole thing is that he was still a man too. Maybe he thought to himself, I've got to have this thorn in the flesh removed. No, it was good for him. That he recognized the Lord is in charge. And if you'll notice his attitude and his mindset, sometimes maybe get upset because here we're suffering with some physical malady which we think is hindering us from serving God. Or maybe you've come to services or maybe doing the things that we need to do for the Lord and get frustrated. Why isn't God answering my prayers? It would be good if I'm well. Well, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and what the Lord said to him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Did you ever think about concerning the times that you are suffering? Sometimes it might be better that God's grace is sufficient for you, and that as a result of that, you are trusting in God more and obeying Him more, because I realize that I am weak, but He is strong. I am weak, but He is strong. Do we understand that as you think about the Apostle Paul? Because he said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And maybe as a result of going through a difficult experience, maybe overcoming cancer, maybe overcoming some other malady, difficult problem, whatever it might have been, you realize the statement the Apostle Paul said here, when I am weak, then I am strong. You realize that's a victory? That's a victory over sin as you think about concerning your life to propel you forward, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, just like the Apostle Paul here. In overcoming discouragement, focus on Jesus, not your problem. What happens so many times? Just like we talked about the other day concerning our worries. And we think about giving place to the devil concerning the worries and the focus upon that. And you remember in the parable of the sower, you know, the worries of the world, it chokes the word. And so when we focus upon those worries and we're not praying and we're not trusting in God, the more and more we're focused on those worries, we're not focused on Jesus. We're not focused on the Scriptures. We're not focused upon the Lord helping us through whatever problem we're facing. Focus on Jesus. When Peter obeyed the Lord's command, you know what happened? He was able to walk on the water because he asked permission and the Lord said, come. By the power of Jesus' word, he was able to walk on the water. What happened? He took his eyes off Jesus. Here's the storm. The reality is the storm is going on. And he took his eyes off Jesus and he was beginning to sink, wasn't he? But he didn't forget to say, Lord, save me. He didn't forget, did he? In that circumstance. When we focus on our problems, we take our eyes off of Jesus, and what happens? We sink into doubt, worry, and discouragement, don't we? That's what happens. We need to focus on Jesus instead. Why? Well, what has Jesus done? We're told in Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Are you fixing your eyes on Jesus or on the problem? As you think about overcoming discouragement, you fix your eyes on Jesus. He endured through the cross. And if you do that, you will not grow weary and discouraged. We believe the Word of God. That's what's going to happen. Focus your eyes on Jesus. So instead of casting your mind upon the worries, cast all your care upon Him. Because what? Because He cares for you. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Don't let the devil get you to think, well, the Lord doesn't care about me and your difficulties and your problems. The Lord does. He died for you. He suffered and died in cruel and agonizing death. So remember that. The Lord always loves you. Don't worry. Instead, as you think about Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And you know what the result will be? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which shall do what? Which shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of having worry, you'll have the peace of God. It's sometimes the most amazing thing with those, especially as grow older, those who mature in the faith, and maybe they are suffering through cancer. Maybe they are facing death. And you know what? They have this peace that passes all. How are you able to have peace? Well, because I trust in the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I'm a faithful Christian. And I trust in what He says. I'm not worried about it. Because you know what? If I die, eventually I'm going to go to heaven and be with my Lord. Amen. And that's an encouraging thing to see that. Especially for those who are younger. You think about those of your elders. And you think about concern the wisdom that is there for those who are faithful Christians. Obviously, you think about faithful elders and you have deacons and obviously faithful members too. Younger people, obviously your parents, and you think about your grandparents, but your faithful brethren. You don't have to worry. You can talk to them and through the experience that they have faced in their life. And thus you can overcome them through Christ. You know, imitate them as they imitate Christ. Those who are focused upon Jesus can be a well of encouragement to you during your time of trouble. Also, in overcoming discouragement, realize that God still has work for you to do. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 19, that wasn't it for Elijah. Remember he requested himself that he would die. And remember we talked about the Lord fed him. And here are 7,000 of bowed the knee to Baal. Yes, he had more work for him to do. And he did it as a result. Well, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And the Apostle Paul had said he didn't rest on his laurels, you know. Well, you know, look at all of the thousands of people I've baptized. Look at all that I've done in the past. And no, that's not what he was about. He said, forgetting the things which are behind and pressing on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was pressing on towards the goal of heaven. You might think about all the failures. Yes, he had failures in the past, persecuting the church. You remember that? I'm sure it was very difficult to realize, you know, some Christians died because I cast my vote against them and I was the instigator of persecution against the church and even laying his coats at the feet of Stephen. Yeah, he may not have stoned Stephen, thrown the rocks, but he held the coats of those who did. Mercy of the Lord was more than abundant. He was able to forget those things and press on towards the goal of heaven. Maybe sometimes you think about concerning your past. And some people just can't get past their spiritual failure. The devil is still trying to work on you because if we trust in what God says, we obey the gospel, he said, I will remember them no more. Do we believe that? The devil is going to keep on bringing those sins up to prevent you from serving the Lord. And here can be a difficulty that you've got to overcome. Hey, do we believe in what the Bible says? Do we believe in what the Scripture says? Do we believe it as a Christian? We confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're truly repenting from the heart and confessing our sins. They are forgiven. And thus we can be cleansed and we can be holy. We can know that we are right with God right now and be prepared for that judgment day right now. And so as we think about that, don't focus on the problems in the past. All you can do is get forgiveness for them. Maybe you failed terribly. And as you look to the New Testament, some of the most wicked sinners were forgiven. Don't let that hold you back from work God would have you to do. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, talking to his son of the faith, Timothy, where he said, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. There are many opportunities that we have to do good to all people, and especially those in the household of the faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. And so we do have that opportunity, you have somebody who has a need, maybe is discouraged. Maybe here's an opportunity because they see your faith and you show love and care and concern for them to help them out in a situation and tell, well, what makes you the way you are? And you have the opportunity to teach them the gospel of Christ. And as a result, they obey the gospel of Christ and their lives are changed whereby they can teach others also and their family members. Be an example to others. Teach them. Also overcoming discouragement, encourage and be encouraged. Don't we all need daily encouragement? We all need daily encouragement. The temptations of the devil are continual. As we think about certainly the devil never goes to sleep, does he? He never gives up. He never quits. But thankfully, God doesn't either, does he? He's not going to give you any more than you can bear. Don't ever forget that. I was thinking about maybe one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, which especially young people need to think about and realize because I know I didn't appreciate it or understand it when I was younger. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, always remember that there is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you can endure through it. Does that mean it's going to be gone, the temptation? You know, he said, you can endure through it, whatever you face. Well, I'd like to have somebody else's temptation, but no, you wouldn't. Because each and every one of us, we need to remember, God is faithful, not going to give us more than we can bear. The difficulty is that here we aren't encouraged, we aren't strong. The devil tempts us away from God's will. God forbid we harden our hearts in our sins. You realize the passage in Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13 that talks about this? He had just talked about the Israelites who fell in the wilderness. Many examples are written in the New Testament concerning those Israelites who failed. They disobeyed. They hardened their hearts against God. And he tells the brethren here who are facing persecution in Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. What's going to help overcome that? What is it? Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called the day. Because all you can do is something today. You can't do something for yesterday, make up for yesterday, or do something for tomorrow. All you have is today. And he said, encourage one another day after day. Why? So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And sad and tragic as it is, maybe you've seen others that have been hardened in their heart. Maybe faithful gospel preachers or faithful brethren in the past. And they have hardened their heart. They've actually said, I'm going to torment and I don't really care any longer. That's a sign of someone who has a hardened heart, fallen away from the living, and you can be deceived by sin, but encouragement will overcome that day after day. In Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25, as we think about this gospel meeting effort, day after day, we've had the opportunity to be encouraged and be encouraged. I've been encouraged by your faithfulness to come each and every night. Those who have come from long distance and other brethren from other congregations who have come, it's an encouragement to each and every one of us. We're told in Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, notice it, is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking the assembly of our own selves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I realize that maybe we as gospel preachers, we emphasize this passage so much concerning the negative part. Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. I want you to notice in that passage the encouragement and stimulation that comes about holding fast to the faith here. It's going to help you not to waver. Because you're with the saints, you're worshiping God, and maybe you don't even feel the best, but you are here. Brother Swain has been here for every service, and I was concerned a few weeks ago if he'd be able to make one service. And he's been here every single service, and I know he's not feeling the best, but he is here. And many of you others are here also. It's a great encouragement, and he's an example to each and every one of us. Hold fast the confession of our hope, without wavering. Don't get stuck down in the dumps. Well, the lesson is yours this evening and all the lessons for the week. We have one more opportunity in this gospel meeting. Again, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Maybe something has been said from the Word of God that has pricked your heart. The Apostle Peter preaching that first gospel sermon. And the thing about it is that the gospel is not going to change. You know what happens with men is that they have been taught maybe denominational doctrines and they just repeat those doctrines and accept Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe people have heard that over and over and over again. Well, I've accepted Jesus in my heart. That's not what the Bible says. The Scripture doesn't teach that. The Apostle Peter, when they think, well, he said, didn't he say, call, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved in Acts 2, verse 21? Well, we need to see what the Scripture says about what it means to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Well, what the Apostle Peter said, well, we mentioned it early in the lesson. When they were convicted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they had crucified Him. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The Apostle Peter did not say, accept Christ as your personal Savior, and you'll be saved. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What did he say? He said, repent and be baptized. Some of you? Most of you? He said, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, well, that was just for the Jews. That was just for the Jews. Don't you realize, Steve, that was just for the Jews in the first century? He was only preaching to the Jews. He said, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Well, who are those all of who are far off? Well, those Gentiles, Ephesians chapter 2, talks about the Gentiles, the ones who are all afar off. Very likely that includes all of us here tonight. Maybe there's a Jew here tonight, but Jews and Gentiles can obey the gospel of Christ, and it's the same gospel message. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith that He is the Son of God, and be buried in Christ in baptism, water baptism, so that you could be forgiven of your sins, and you might rise to walk in newness of life and go on your way rejoicing. And you know what? We'll all be encouraged by your conviction to obey the gospel, strengthen our faith. You can go on your way rejoicing. And you can help others to obey the gospel too. If there's even one individual that needs to obey the gospel, do it tonight. Remember, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Why not obey the gospel tonight or be restored? God calls, we encourage you, come right now as we stand and sing this song.
Oh, heart, bow down.